And now, back to Brainstorming with Billy.
The Living Brain.
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Welcome back. This is Bill Frank, and you're listening to Brainstorming with Billy the Brain here on KKZZ, Positive Talk Radio for Ventura and Santa Barbara Counties. Every show has a theme, and today's theme is all business, all the time. Each of my guests is talking about an aspect of business that's important to each of us. My first guest made a study of body language and how it impacts leadership. She explained how body language can help or hurt you as a leader from her book, The Silent Language of Leaders. My second guest is the CEO of Boomerang.com, one of the country's leaders in internet marketing through email. We discuss the optimum use of email in marketing in the internet age. My next guest has studied the business practices of rock and roll's most innovative and creative group, the Beatles. He'll share the business wisdom of the Beatles from his book, Come Together. And as always, if you want to join the conversation, you can call us at 639-0008. George Cassidy has worked as a business writer and analyst for a number of blue chip companies, including Deloitte Touche Tohmatsu and the Bank of America. His award-winning work has been translated into 6 languages. George is also a working songwriter and a freelance recording engineer. Beatles music and lore run deep in his DNA for over 30 years, and I guess that's the reason that led to his book. Welcome to the show, George. How are you today?
I'm very well. It's great to be here.
Well, it's a delight to have you on here because the Beatles are, of course, one of the world's favorite groups. And you look at it, the business wisdom of the Beatles, what a great idea. Now, few people, George, would argue that the Beatles were the greatest band of their generation, possibly of all time. But the business wisdom, now that might be questioned because what can the Beatles teach us about business, especially since their careers were managed up front by Brian Epstein, and then later in their careers after Epstein died, Paul McCartney actually lost the rights to the Beatles songs to Michael Jackson. So why are we looking at them for business wisdom?
Well, you know, wisdom, some wisdom you're born with or comes easily, and some wisdom comes at a price. And I think that, you know, looking at the Beatles' career, the totality of it, we see some things that they did wrong, like you would have in any business. You know, remember New Coke. Every
yes.
successful enterprise has these stumbles unless they're afraid to fail. But when you look at the Beatles, the totality of their career and their lives, they've done very well. They've learned from their mistakes, and we feel like there's a lot of valuable sort of lessons in that for people.
All right, well, that's a very good position to take. And on the surface of it, you look at the Beatles, particularly how they're portrayed in the movies like Hard Day's Night and Help. They appear to be very carefree and easygoing, but in fact, that wasn't the case. They were very determined and driven. So tell us a little bit about what you've learned about their determination to be the best and how that shaped their careers and their legacy, George.
That's right. They made it look easy, didn't they,
yes,
in the movie?
They did.
But it wasn't. It was a long struggle for them, just like it is for any new enterprise. They were unusual in the sense that they did sort of have a vision of being the biggest band in the world, and they articulated that vision. You know, I've been in several bands in my life, and we never had a leader like John Lennon who said, listen, we're in this to be the best. We're going to be bigger than Elvis. We're going to the toppermost of the poppermost. But the Beatles were different in that regard. They did articulate that vision, even if it was only half jokingly. And then they stuck to their guns, and they worked like dogs. They sought out these professional engagements in Hamburg before they were even really a full-fledged band.
Mm.
And they were just baptized by fire. And they just kept going from there. So, that attitude, that determination, and that work ethic are unusual, and they were the key elements, particularly in the early days, to their success.
Well, you mentioned John Lennon as a leader, and clearly he was dynamic, but Lennon and McCartney is one of the most prolific, successful songwriting teams ever. So what does their partnership teach us about creativity, and what does their partnership teach us about partnerships in general?
Well, it's a partnership that you see not only in music, but you will also see it in other successful businesses. You know, you have John Lennon and Paul McCartney. You have Warren Buffett and Charlie Munger. You have Bill Gates and Paul Allen. Yeah, many times at the head of these very successful enterprises, you will have these two characters who are very complementary and who balance each other out. And Lennon and McCartney were just an example of that, an excellent example of that in popular music. You know, they were very different personalities in some ways. They shared a sense of humor, I think, and they shared a love of American rock and roll music, and they also shared incredible musical talent. But they were very different, you know, and you can see that. You sort of saw when they split up in the 70s, you saw they both went off in very different directions. But while they were together, there was a tension there, a creative tension, that really made for some excellent music.
Well, and it was a very positive experience, wasn't it, George? We're talking to George Cassidy, author of the book Come Together, The Business Wisdom of the Beatles. And George, I mean, Lennon and McCartney had two very different styles of writings, two different outlooks on songs. I mean, Lennon wrote the more politically activist-type songs, and Paul McCartney was more of the showman. He was very glad to write songs about people, Sexy Sadie, and, you know, all of that kind of stuff. He was more interested in the people side of songs as well. How were their styles different? How would you characterize John, and how would you characterize Paul?
Well, that's interesting. I think that, you know, Yoko Ono probably unfairly characterized Paul's music as sort of, you know, moon in June, pie in the sky, kind of almost very generic and more middle-of-the-road type music. And Lennon's lyrics were very particular and very, and sometimes very strange, you know. Sometimes they were inspired by psychedelic experiences, you know, drug-induced experiences, or by his own very particular psychological pain, you know, the abandonment of his mother and his father. You know, he would sing about things that were about, that songs that were about John Lennon, whereas Paul McCartney would sing songs that were theoretically about anybody, you know, and he was more of a generalist in that way.
Yeah, that's true. That's very interesting. And another interesting part, as the Beatles began to drift apart, John had Yoko, as you mentioned. George gravitated towards his faith, his religion. Paul thought that touring again would rekindle the old spark, and in fact, they didn't tour, and the group fell apart in 1970, as we all know. What is Paul's effort to try to reunite the group teach us about business?
Well, you know, there are several lessons there. Paul, you know, as Lennon did start out as the leader of the Beatles, but then gradually over time he sort of abdicated that position, and there was a leadership vacuum created by that and created by the death of Brian Epstein, their manager, in 1967. And Paul McCartney, I think, did his level best to fill that vacuum and to keep things on an even keel. But and I think that's appropriate, but I think that he what I say in the book, or what we say in the book, is that he, you know, he was a perfectionist and a taskmaster, but he also really wanted to be liked, and you can kind of see that in the Let It Be movie. He's not, you know, Lennon could be more, could have a harder edge about him and really kind of impose his will, and McCartney, I think, tried to do that, but tried to do it more diplomatically, and it was less effective. So I think that, you know, and also the other lesson there is to know when to give up, because I think Paul McCartney, you know, I think even after the Beatles ended, he was kind of in a little bit of denial about it. And, you know, that's one of the lessons that runs throughout our book, is to know what's coming next. You know, have an exit plan, you know, from the very beginning. Know what you would do if your business went belly up tomorrow, because it very well might. You know, it can happen to the Beatles, it could happen to you. And so, you know, you always have to have a plan B.
Well, sound business advice from George Cassidy, author of the book Come Together, The Business Wisdom of the Beatles. And George, let's talk about the Beatles' most obvious, most front and center business endeavor that they had together, and that was Apple Records. What lessons are there to be learned from the Beatles' record company, Apple Records, and in what ways did Apple prove or disprove the Beatles' business acumen?
Well, you know, Apple Records, it was born kind of ignominiously along with all the other Apple companies, Apple Retail, Apple Films, Apple Electronics, and all of those other companies were very public failures. And but Apple Records, after it was reorganized, you know, it's still going 40 some odd years later, and it's a very profitable music company. You know, it just famously put the Beatles' music out on iTunes and sold millions of downloads just last year. The year before that, they had released remastered editions of many of the Beatles CDs and sold millions of those. So they have become curators of the Beatles legacy and very effectively marketing and remarketing their music to baby boomers and to new audiences, to the iTunes generation.
And
so it was born sort of, like I said, under a bad sign, but then the Beatles corrected course and that refocused on their core business. And so Apple Records, Apple Music is still going strong today.
A very good observation. We're talking to George Cassidy. And George, one of the things in the redefining or redeveloping Apple Records was the role that Alan Klein played. Now, this is not a well-publicized story, but you guys bring it out in your book very well. So tell us the story about Alan Klein and his role at Apple Records. And in particular, talk about the battle that brewed between Alan Klein and Paul McCartney, who wanted to have the Eastman sort of take over his role.
Right, right. Well, Alan Klein, it's an interesting story because Mick Jagger sort of introduced Alan Klein to John Lennon. And some people, in hindsight, say it was to get Alan Klein off the Stones' backs, to distract him with the Beatles. But I'm not sure that was it. But he was a kind of a blunt-talking accountant who was sort of infamous in the music business for squeezing back royalties out of record companies and for negotiating very tough deals for his artists. And so that appealed to John Lennon, and John Lennon sort of took his case to the group, and George and Ringo agreed with him that Alan Klein was the man to sort out the mess at Apple and to get them back on track. Paul McCartney wanted his in-laws or his prospective in-laws to be running the business, and of course, it's understandable that the other Beatles wouldn't want Paul's in-laws running the business because the tendency would be to think that they were perhaps favoring Paul at the expense of the others. What happened with Alan Klein is that he was very focused. His compensation was based on how much cash, how much revenue he generated, and so he had a real laser-like focus on revenue, to the exclusion of everything else, including artistic goals. And the most famous example of that is how he pushed through the release of the Phil Spector doctored Let It Be tapes over McCartney's objection, really almost without McCartney's knowledge. So there was over time there became a sort of a conflict between the artistic goals that, in particular, Paul McCartney had and the financial goals that Alan Klein was very aggressively pursuing. And in due course, McCartney sued to dissolve the Beatles' partnership that bound him to Alan Klein. That was in 1970. So it was, once Alan Klein appeared on the scene, it was kind of the beginning of the end.
Very much so. And it's an interesting story, not well documented, except in your book, Come Together, The Business Wisdom of the Beatles. Now, George, an interesting aspect on the business side of the Beatles that is long forgotten is the whole role of Pete Best. I mean, he's the erstwhile drummer of the Beatles. He was replaced by Ringo Starr before they were sort of catapulted into stardom. Did Pete Best relinquish his claims to the Beatles? Did he ever regret not being the drummer? And whatever happened to Pete Best?
Well, he did. I think that it took him by surprise. It probably shouldn't have taken him by surprise, but I think it really came out of the blue. And certainly it was, I think it's been well documented that it was sort of hurtful to him or painful for him to watch the meteoric rise of the Beatles right after they kicked him out. He was a fine drummer. There are some people who argue that his skill set was comparable to Ringo's, but his personality wise he was very different from the other three Beatles, whereas Ringo shared more of the same sense of humor and approach to life, and Lennon is supposed to have said, Pete Best may have been a better drummer, but Ringo was a better Beatle. Those four personalities together really clicked. But Pete Best is another example of always knowing what your plan B is going to be. You may be the Pete Best in your company, and you need to have something else, lined up, or at least in your mind, to know where you would go if that happens to you. And I think that is a lesson that just keeps coming back, looking at, and all these guys were very young. So, it's understandable that they hadn't done any contingency planning for many of these things. But that's one big lesson to takeaway from the book is you're never too young to start lining up your options.
All right, we're talking to George Cassidy, author of the book Come Together, The Business Wisdom of the Beatles. George, tell us a little bit about your backstory. How'd you become interested in the Beatles? What sparked your interest in writing business lessons as told through the Beatles story?
Well, I've been a Beatles fan since I was a small child. I used to pedal my bike over to the public library in Queens, New York, and check out all the Beatles cassettes that they had there. Be down there renewing them. If anyone else wanted to check out those cassettes, they were out of luck because I pretty much always had them. And, I just remember from a very early age hearing them on the radio and just saying, wow, that's different, you know. And then I wasn't really planning to write a book. My co-author, Richard Courtney, it was sort of his brainchild, and he knew we were social acquaintances. He knew I was a musician and a writer, and he said, I've got a great idea for a book. I just need somebody to write it with me. And so we started passing chapters back and forth, and it was a lot of fun. It was our own little version of Lennon McCartney. You know, we would complement each other's perspectives and skill sets very well.
Well, it is a fascinating read. It's a fun book, particularly if you like the Beatles. Come Together, The Business Wisdom of the Beatles. George, if people are interested in what you're having to say, they want to learn more about you, they want to learn more about the book, where would you direct them to go on the Internet?
We have a website, and that is beatlesbusiness.com. And you can learn about us and the book there, and you can also click through to a number of different online booksellers. If you also want to purchase the book.
BeatlesBusiness.com. George, it has been great. Thank you so much for being my special guest here on Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. We'll talk to you down the road.
All right. Thanks for having me.
Thanks. Take care. And that brings us to the end of another show, Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. We'll be talking to you with more interesting guests tomorrow live at 10 o'clock here on KKZZ Positive Talk Radio for Ventura County.